Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, we're back on the Paracast. A little bit later, we'll be talking about monsters. And monsters are always big news, not just in fact, but in fiction. We'll get into that in a moment, the factual kind of monsters.
Yeah, politicians.
Those are the worst kinds of monsters.
Scariest.
But I should tell you that I don't think a lot of you people realize that Chris and I do another radio show. Not just the Paracast, but something called After the Paracast. And that's like, you know, the after-game session where we do color commentary. We chat about all sorts of different subjects. No real time limit. It usually goes for 20 or 30 minutes. There are no commercial announcements because it is done as part of the Paracast Plus package. It's after the Paracast. It's getting 5-star reviews from listeners. And you won't see those reviews on iTunes because to get that show, you have to subscribe. The Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. There's a monthly subscription of $5 a month, $50 a year, and $175 for 5 years. And if you go for a 1 year or longer package, Chris is donating a copy of Stalking the Tricksters. This is this famous book that changed the entire paradigm in UFO and paranormal research, Stalking the Tricksters, free if you get a subscription to the Paracast Plus for 1 or 5 years, plus.theparacast.com. It's worth it just for the book. Okay. In last week's episode, we mentioned briefly that Chris's brother, Brendan, who's been on the show and does all those Mayan tours with his lady, he has been treated for a tumor in his esophagus, and he's taken his chemo. How's he doing, Chris?
Well, I'm happy to report he's doing much better. It seems like the tumor's, just with one session, the tumor shrank enough so he can now eat. It's important to be able to eat and drink. So he's out of the hospital. He's back home, and he'll be, you know, getting his strength back up and trying to put some weight on. He's lost a lot of weight. And then in 2 weeks, they're going to go in, and he's going to have another treatment and go through the whole chemo thing again, but it'll be an outpatient procedure this time. So, you know, I'm happy to report he's over that initial hump, but he's got a long way to go. It's, you know, it's a major battle, but, you know, he's strong and getting stronger, and I'm happy to report that he's doing better. So thank you so much for all your best wishes and prayers. A lot of people have come forward and really expressed their concern and also their love and healing energy. It goes a long way, believe it or not. I'm a real firm believer in the power of groupthink and power of positive thinking. So it's really good that people have come forward. And I'm really gratified, and thank you, everyone.
It's important for someone who gets chemo to eat because, you know, your skin and bones after this thing pretty much takes everything out of you. My late brother-in-law, Stephen, went through chemo, and you could see how it impacted him. Unfortunately, his tumor never shrunk. And the fact that Brendan's tumor is shrinking so quickly.
You know, he's a tough guy. I mean, he's a real fighter. He had a real bad back injury in a car accident. He had spinal fusion. They were doing laparoscopies and, you know, all these really painful procedures. And, you know, he's strong. So we really have, you know, a lot of admiration for his fight. And he's doing well. So, you know, it's good. He sounded, you know, practically normal yesterday, which is really a good thing to report. And also, you know, my dearest friend, Susan, just had complete spinal reconstructive surgery, so and I'm going through my own little health thing here. So it's been a little rough around the old homestead here the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So again, thanks everybody for all your positive thoughts and prayers and throwing that healing energy in Brennan's direction.
Maybe we should just stay away from Chris because in the last few weeks I've been suffering from a recurrence of a back problem. My chiropractor is busy reshaping the spine and doing all that stuff. It's not so bad that I have to go to a specialist, but it is painful. Sometimes when I walk, I wonder, maybe I'm going to need a walker soon, but now I feel a little bit better, so I don't know. Don't get too close to Phoenix, Chris.
Yeah, I promise.
Thank you. Seriously. Last week's episode, we have David Hatcher Childress. And I think the thing that we always hear when David comes on the show is the fact, of course, he's making some very interesting, fascinating, and some people might consider extreme claims about this archaeological evidence, evidence that might indicate the presence of advanced beings thousands of years ago. I guess the main chatter you see in the forums, from some people, they enjoy the show. Others enjoy the show, but don't take them too seriously. Now, right, the point is here is that unlike a lot of people, he's going on the scene to investigate these things. Whether you agree with him or not, he's there, he's looking over these artifacts.
Yeah.
What's your feeling about it? You've known this guy for years.
Yeah, I've known David for quite a number of years. I'm very close to him. I kind of run his World Explorers Club West operation when he and Jen are gone. And he lives across the street from me. You know, David travels a good 3 to 6 months out of the year. He goes to all these locations, some that the vast majority of the population never even heard of. There's all kinds of potential megalithic sites and ancient sites that have not, you know, that they're not on everybody's radar. And especially the Cam culture in Southeast Asia. You know, David is really up to speed on a lot of these locations, and when he goes there, he's looking for stuff that literally would be almost impossible for a Stone Age culture to fabricate. Pumapunku is a great example of that, of the types of cuts that we would have difficulty doing today with modern technology and high technology, I should say. And when people, you know, say, oh, well, you're underestimating the ingenuity of man. Stone Age people could have somehow done this. Maybe, yeah, some of these sites, you could say that, you know, there could have been super ingenious people that were able to do this. But on many of them, you just, there's no way. I don't care who you are. You can sit back in your armchair and you can pontificate from now until the cows come home, but you're just not going to be able to explain away the difficulty of quarrying and moving 1,000-ton blocks. We would have an incredibly hard time to do it today. And when they just moved a megalithic stone up to, I think, the L.A. County Museum up from Southern California, it took an amazing amount of guys and, these 80-wheeled trailers, and it can only go at 1 or 2 miles an hour, and it was a huge deal and very, very difficult. And that's with modern technology. So, you know, I don't know, moving all the Easter Island heads, and there's no trees to make rollers. You know, there's certain things that just don't add up with a lot of this stuff. And David is not saying that aliens did this by any stretch. He's not factoring that out. But at the same time, you know, we do have to come up with, you know, viable alternative explanations to attempt to explain these things. And oftentimes you can't. There's nothing that you can come up with that would be, you know, some sort of human-derived or closed system explanation that would explain these things. And I'm the last person to think that aliens are coming here and moving big blocks for primitive man. I think it's almost a ludicrous idea. But at the same time, somehow these things happened and this work was done. So go ahead, come up with some explanations. David doesn't claim to have all the answers, but he does claim that he goes there and he looks at it and he takes measurements. He goes with Chris Dunn. So anyway, draw your own conclusions.
Speaking of drawing your own conclusions, when it comes to monsters in America or around the world, we want you to draw your own conclusions. We have Linda Godfrey, author of American Monsters, A History of Monster Lore, Legends, and Sightings in America. Coming next with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut. Pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're limited close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, a reminder, if you want to hear the After the Paracast podcast, it's exclusive to members of the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Back is a lady who chases after monsters and strange creatures and such. And her most recent book is called American Monsters from Linda Godfrey. Linda, welcome back to the Paracast.
It's great to be back. Thanks so much for having me again.
We're always enjoying monsters in this country. What is the appeal in movies, in books, TV? What is our attraction to strange creatures who are sometimes really horrifying?
Well, I think there's a part of us that kind of likes to be scared if it's from a safe vantage point. To read about a monster or to see one in a movie, even to hear someone just tell a tale, is a great way to be scared and think about what you might do if you ever actually encountered one without having that physical presence and the true possibility that you might be carried off or eaten or all your blood drank or whatever it might do. So, you know, I think that that's a really long human tradition, probably rooted a little bit in self-preservation, you know, that idea of being prepared and wanting to sort of rehearse perils that might befall us by living them vicariously through these other tales. I think that that's sort of the basis of campfire tales, and campfires go back to the beginnings of humanity.
Is there much of a factual basis? And this is the core of a book like this. Is there much of a factual basis for these campfire stories?
Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. You know, the classic example of yes would be the Kraken, which now turns out to most people think be the giant squid or colossal squid that is now scientifically confirmed. It used to be thought that such a large squid could not exist, you know, and that these were complete exaggerations. And then, of course, we started having them wash up in beaches in New Zealand and elsewhere that indeed did measure this this large size. So that would be the classic, yeah, sometimes they're real. And then other times, they may be just legends or exaggerations of legends. Occasionally, a person will start something with a hoax. I think of the Chacalaco monster, one of our southern creatures that had a whole monster craze going on in this little area called Chacalaco. And the name of it, I'm thinking it's Missouri. I could be wrong on the state. I don't have it right in front of me. But it turned out it was a teenager who had like a skull of a dead cow and a sheet and a cape and a couple of teenage accomplices. They started this whole local legend about this Chacalaco monster. And he finally gave it up when people started shooting at him.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, when you talk about the Kraken, I just think of that trailer from a certain movie with Liam Neeson.
Release the Kraken.
Or Release the Kraken.
That's much better, yes.
I'm not an Academy Award-winning actor.
You have to roll your R's.
Roll? You roll your R's.
I'll leave that to you. You're much better at it than I am.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think we're rolling into oblivion here if we don't get back to the seriousness.
Right.
Before we get back to the seriousness, let me get really serious and say the only real monsters that we know for sure exist are a number of Congress people that we have to deal with on a very sobering, very real level.
Well, you know, without getting into politics, I really do believe that the worst monsters are humans. I think of serial killers.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And people who do horrible things to other people. And now those are monsters, but of course those aren't what I talk about in my book at all.
Your book, by the way, Linda, I just want to commend you on such a great job that you've done. This is like the go-to encyclopedia of the subject. I'm just astounded how much work and research went into this. You're really to be commended on this, and I say this rarely about books that we have authors on the air, but this book is a definite must read, and I recommend it highly.
Oh, thank you.
No, I stand on it.
I appreciate that. I really do. And
it's quite an encyclopedia.
Well, what I wanted to do, and I still want to get back and address the rest of your other question, but what I wanted to do with this was just give people some clue as to the depth and the breadth of the sightings that people have around this country of these unidentifiable, unexplainable creatures, you know. And we usually get them in bits and pieces. You know, there will be a Batman scare here, a large bird scare there, Bigfoot here and there. And people think, oh, there's one little thing, there's another little thing. They don't realize that these types of things are ongoing continually all over the place. Most of them don't get reported, and there just is generally never a broad look at all of them where you can kind of stop and look and say, yeah, this and this and this. And they all sort of seem to mesh and evolve into one another. You know, you have large, gigantic birds with 20-foot wingspans, and they sort of merge into the – and I'm not saying literally merge. I'm just saying as you look across at them, it goes into the things with bat wings and furry bodies, and then you get just the furry bodies, and then there's the fur-less things, you know, like little grays and that sort of thing. So it just runs this entire gamut. And the mystery that I keep coming back to, and the reason, real reason that I wrote this book and all my others, is why, if there's nothing to them, and this perhaps addresses the rest of that question, are so many people, credible, sober, honest people for the most part, seeing them, and, you know, a minority having the guts to report what they see. You know, it just doesn't, you know, the old thoughts about, oh, it's mass hallucination, or, oh, they were drunk, or, you know, I'm sorry, that just doesn't fly for most of these descriptions of, that people have of their encounters. It just doesn't work out. There can be some delusional people. There may be some misidentification, certainly. You know, there may be some just out-and-out hoaxes, but it doesn't account for the mass of sightings that there are. And I thought, if people could just see in one place how many different types there are, and I could not fit all the types in. You always know that when you set out to make a compilation, somebody's going to get angry that you didn't put their hometown beastie in there. And, you know, it was just impossible. I had to pick the best of mine, the best of, in that kind of book, I also had to bring in more things by other people because, you know, obviously I don't get sightings of every possible type of creature. You know, I need to lean on some friends like Stan Gordon and, you know, other people who have more of one type than I do of a certain type of creature. But you just can't possibly fit every single one. I mean, it would have taken 3, 4, I don't know how many books that size to cover.
Plus you left out entire categories.
Yeah.
For brevity, like elementals. Every Native American regional group of Indians has stories of elementals and diminutive humanoid type forms.
I think I did have some little. I had some little people in there.
You have a few, but the actual numbers of all the different forms and types is, I mean, you couldn't even fit all those in a book.
No.
We can't fit any more in this segment, so we have to break.
Okay.
We have Linda Godfrey talking about American monsters. I'll tell you about my elemental encounter on the other side with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. It's built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freesurvivallighter.com. Again, that's freesurvivallighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freesurvivallighter.com today.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Linda Godfrey, author of American Monsters, a history of monster lore, legends, and sightings in America. And every time I see the word monster, I want to do a Boris monster, but I can't do that because I can't do that voice. So anyway, let us continue here. Now, Chris was mentioning other monsters we don't read too much about in the book, about elementals. And I'll just recite this. I've mentioned it before in the Paracast, but maybe it's relevant here. And that is, back in the 70s, when Geneva and I were married, that's my first wife, and you've heard her on the Paracast, we maintained a friendship despite the fact that we went our separate ways. In any case, we're asleep one night, for some reason, in the living room, on just a bare mattress, in our home in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. This is in the 1970s. And maybe it's 3 o'clock in the morning, that magical 3 a.m., where Geneva wakes me up and says, I just saw a water elemental. And I said, you saw a what? Now, I wear contact lenses or glasses. I had neither. So I did look in the distance where she pointed, towards the kitchen. And I saw maybe something dark, briefly for a moment. And then I mostly sort of forgot about it and went back to sleep. So that's it. Not very exciting, is it? But Chris or Linda, either one of you, what do we mean by a water elemental?
Well, it's funny. I was just going to ask you how she knew it was a water elemental.
She told me at the time, and I don't remember.
Well, a water elemental would, in my research, from what I understand, would be a small type of spirit being that lives on or around the water. They usually look like little humans when they're seen with the naked eye. And in most tribes, they're considered not terribly ferocious or anything, but to be respected. If you don't respect them, yeah, they will come and do bad things or things you won't like, at least, at, you know, from mischief to probably rougher things. And I know one name for them is the Pukwudgi. That's one that comes to mind. The different tribes have their different names for them. But there are different waters, many different water spirits in a lot of the Native American lore, too. You know, like the water panther and the water snakes or water serpents. So there's kind of like a whole pantheon of Native American.
There's also water sprites, too. There's lights that tend to be seen and flitting around what are considered sacred springs, sacred waterfalls. We have one place in the San Luis Valley, for instance, where that's the most common, if you're going to go somewhere to see something unusual, that would be the place that you would have the best, most consistent chance of seeing something unusual. And that's these kind of like Tinkerbells that seem to hang around this one particular sacred grotto and waterfall.
Hmm. And are there particular other creature sightings around in that same area? Because springs and grottos were considered to be the doorways to the spirit world by most Native American tribes. And so you would get the little lights that some people believed were these creatures in their undifferentiated, unmanifested form, and then that they would, according to different means, manifest as something that could get around on this earth on two or four legs and, you know, maybe have fur, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's Bigfoot sightings there. There's doorways that seem to be opening and closing in the mountain. UFOs, small UFOs going in and out of the mountain there. Spirit warriors, full warrior, just ferocious looking, sort of half opaque, half transparent warriors showing up at campfires nearby. There's a lot of stuff that happens there, but the most consistent one are these lights.
And where again did you say exactly that was?
This would be at the top of, this is the Pata Falls, which is right above the Snippy the Horse site, the first publicized animal mutilation. It's right above there, up in the, on the mountain there, between there and Uraca Canyon, which is in the Sangre de Cristos, on the kind of going up north from the Blanca Peak area, which is the sacred mountain of the east for the Pueblo and Diné people.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a magical spot, and I take people up there, you know, all the time. And it's a great sky watching spot. It sits up about 1,200 feet off the valley floor.
Very cool.
So let's continue. What you mentioned, it was garbled when you mentioned how long it took you to research and write this book. This looks like it took quite a long time.
Yeah, it was about 2 years altogether in the making. And normally I'll do, 1 to 2 books a year. So it was a little bit more of an effort, you know, and it took some shuffling around and then the agonizing over what to put in and what to leave out. And then I kept finding more, and I kept calling my editors. I went over the intended word count and calling my editors and the publisher and saying, please, can I just have another 10,000 words?
Yeah, you know, really.
Found this great thing, and, you know, finally it had reached their ultimate limit, and, you know, I had to settle for what I had.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to have a 360-page book, and mine ended up being 600.
And then the publisher sent you a bill.
Oh.
Well, here's an interesting question. Normally we wait with our questions until later on in the show, but some of these questions I think are important as at the head of the show here.
Sure.
And this one comes from Burnt State. He is one of our most prolific posters. He's also been a guest on the show, and he's just a wonderful intellect. This guy is amazing. He's up in Toronto. Monsters appear to occupy a special place in human culture, as we have always seen distorted anthropomorphic versions of ourselves throughout history in some sort of animalistic form. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the purpose of monsters in society?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, you know, and I hate to sort of venture into those waters. And
it's entertainment almost in one sense, but
right.
Do you think that there's some other more... some archetypal, for lack of a better word, do you think that monsters actually have a function within the society?
Yeah, I do think that it can go deeper than that. You know, we know that our ancestors did a lot of ritual things wearing animal masks that made them look monstrous, or skins, you know, where they would take on the characteristics of the animals they most admired or feared or, you know, wanted to hunt. You know, we can only guess at some of their reasons. But, you know, I just do think that, again, it gets down to really thinking about the things that scare us and maybe even displacing them sometimes onto these monstrous types of creatures, because we can say, well, there's bad stuff in me, but oh, look, there are these monsters. They're much worse. You know, those are very far removed from me. They really can't hurt me. I could never be like them. You know, that kind of thing. It takes the scariness that's within ourselves and puts it someplace else, someplace that is different than a human, and someplace that we can analyze and maybe historically control through ritual, or you know, control through putting them in the TV. You can watch them, get scared, get your fill of them, and then, you know, if the zombies get too threatening, you turn off the TV. You know, it's a way that we can manage these scary feelings that are part of our basic instinct. And I apologize to any psychologists listening. That's just my layman's version of that view.
Well, I like the way that you've broken the book up into some interesting categories: monsters by air, monsters by sea, monsters by land. I just love that, because it's a great way to first of all compartmentalize the information so it's easily accessible for the reader. But then your categories are interesting, because some of them overlap.
They do, and yeah. you can't help it, because you can find creatures that are you would think would be primarily flyers, but they'll walk around too, you know, or they'll have.
Or some that are primarily walking around, and all of a sudden they take off.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So there's sorry.
That leads me to a second question by Bernd State.
Before we have the second question by our friend Bernd State, let's do our break. With Gene and Chris talking to Linda Godfrey, you're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Chris is trying to put on his monstrous voice, by the way. It's going to get more and more eccentric as we progress because we're talking about American monsters. We have Linda Godfrey, author of American Monsters, A History of Monster Lore, Legends, and Sightings in America. Really terrific little book here, and we started reading it a while back because she sent us, or the publisher sent us, like a pre-release version, and it's well over 300 pages, almost 350 pages, which is more content than most books of this type. As she said, she kept begging the publisher to have more space to present more case histories. We were asking questions from our listeners, including our friend Robert, who is best known to our forum members and listeners of the show as Burnt State. He had a second question, Chris.
He did, and before we went to break, we were talking with Linda about the overlapping of categories of some of these various monster types, monsters that walk and then all of a sudden fly, or monsters you would think would fly only and then were able to walk around. And he's wondering about how this idea of overlapping works in terms of the overall phenomenal nature of reality. And he says, have you ever run across monster stories that have overlapped with other paranormal or UFO phenomena, cases where ghosts and Bigfoot are seen together, for instance, or UFOs and wolfmen appear in the same area? Do you feel that there is some kind of crossover or connection between different paranormal phenomena?
Well, I have to say that it seems to happen more and more, you know, and I noted in my book that it's really difficult to classify monsters. You know, when scientists put known animals in their traditional sorts of classifications, you can sort them into orders and species and things like that by virtue of the fact that they're pretty reliable in that, you know, a bear is going to have four legs and no wings. Whereas when the monsters come, there is something that may look sort of bearish, but it's got wings, you know, and it doesn't work normally like that. Right. So the thing is that when you have spent a long time researching these things, you begin to realize that certain things appear in clusters. John Keel called it the window effect. Just about every researcher has had their own term for it, hot spots, hot zones, sacred areas, whatever you want to call it. they do seem to show up in the same places and within the same sort of vicinity. And actually, that's kind of where my present book that I'm working on right now is going, in that I'm trying to document some of these connecting things. Because it is true that wherever you have Bigfoot or Dogman sightings, there are usually going to be UFOs showing up. And in fact, I had one incident that was reported to me recently. The incident was a little older, but the report was more recent, several decades ago. And I was able to take all this down, and it was a pretty significant Bigfoot sighting. In fact, I'm so excited to tell it in the book. It's one of the best I've come across. And when I went into some MUFON files and other things, I discovered, sure enough, there was a really significant UFO sighting within city blocks of that same thing, just about exactly at the same time. So you may not see the Bigfoot walking out of the saucer. You know, you may not see the dog man flying the giant triangle, but they do show up in the same areas where these types of craft appear and where other types of cryptids appear.
Yeah, you mentioned before our friend Stan Gordon. He had an event that he investigated with the same evening, I believe, if I remember correctly, where Bigfoot were seen coming out of a saucer. And
yeah.
I think the farmer even popped some shots off at them.
Yes.
So they're very rare, but there are some examples of that. Well, you know, that kind of leads to the question of, you know, how about the timing of these things? Now, do you see waves of unusual phenomena that correlate sort of or cross correlate between categories, whether it's UFOs and outbreaks of cryptid sightings? Is the timing, you mentioned in this one case that the timing seemed to be fairly close. Do you see any sort of consistency in that?
I think you see it more often than you would normally expect to. The trouble is that it's hard for us to have a perfect sense of the correlations because so many things go unreported. You know, somebody might have had, there may have been 3 or 4 dogman sightings within, say, 30 square miles of Michigan within a week. And somebody else may have seen, you know, a dozen UFOs in the same area, but those people never got around to reporting them.
Right.
So you have to live with the fact that I really believe most of these phenomena are severely underreported because people learn very quickly that they're going to be made fun of. A lot of them are afraid they may lose their jobs or, you know, they don't want to.
Yeah, it's a stigma.
Right. And many people just want to say, oh, if I saw this, I must be crazy. Therefore, I'm not going to talk about it anymore and pretend that it didn't happen. I have a lot of people say they were that way for years until they finally saw there were enough people coming forward with it that they realized this is an experience that happens, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're crazy.
You know what else I found is the more bizarre the encounter or experience or sighting, the less likely it is that the witness will report it.
Yeah, and I found that I have found that in my own work. You know, I had an experience a couple of years ago where what I'm quite sure was a Bigfoot tore a 35-foot-long, 8-inch living limb of an oak tree from about 40 feet up, although I was on a ridge, so I was at eye level with it, right before my eyes. And here's the weird thing. I wrote a blog about it, and I couldn't bring myself to put this part in the blog because this was what really shook me. Normally, if a tree branch is dead and it falls off, there's no way that it twists perfectly horizontally to crack itself off the tree before then being torn off and dropping down vertically. When is the last time you saw a giant tree branch be twisted at a 45-degree angle until it pointed straight at you and then was torn off of a tree? You know, I self-censored that out of my blog entry, although I did put it in the chapter in the book where it appears.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to explain by some naturally occurring event.
Yeah, I just thought nobody's going to believe this, and I didn't go back and fix my blog entry because I thought, well, that's how I put it then, and I hate to at it in retrospect too much, but I really understand that, because when there's something that's just so impossible to explain by any natural means, you're very reluctant to say it out loud to yourself, much less go and tell someone.
I've even found that people will report an event and, you know, because they feel it's important enough to share with investigators or law enforcement. And then once they get to know you, even months or years later, they'll come back and say, oh, by the way, remember that, you know, first time I came to you and reported something? Well, there's something I didn't tell you.
Right. Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
Invariably, what they say is, if I had told you this, you never would have believed me, so I left it out. And they're right. It's some weird, tricksterish, just bizarre, you know, just head-scratching, you know, ridiculous detail that just is so absurd that it just would have rendered the whole sighting report unbelievable.
Exactly.
And so people leave it out.
Right. Yeah, that happens quite a bit. I continually express how grateful I am to the many sincere people who do come forward and help us build the database, because if nobody did, we would have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one problem with monsters or cryptids in general. It's attempting to do real serious hard data, real-time investigation of research into these creatures is virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying with trail cams. I love this idea of this stealth blimp idea that's been in development for a while. Fly this thing way up in the air with high-def cameras and cover a whole area. Motion detectors. And I think that there are some promise in some sense of this, but it's virtually impossible, really, to deal with this whole subject in any way but an anecdotal form, and that's unfortunate. But it's something that we got to live with. Where do you see the future of cryptid, real-time cryptid research going? Do you think there's any hope?
Before we have that answer, let's hold it for a second, okay? We just want to remind you to go to plus.theparacast.com to learn more about our premium service, plus.theparacast.com. Linda Godfrey is going to answer Chris's question on the other side. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
St. Paddy's Day is coming soon to Guns80.com. My buddy Mark is rolling in clover since Guns80.com announced its clean and green sale. He used his leprechaun-like magical powers to get Guns80.com to offer us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, for a limited time, when you order an AR-15 rifle kit, Guns80.com will toss in a cleaning kit and a tactical bipod pistol grip free, all for the low, low price of $449.95. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.